Friends, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, as we gather as your people today, once again we are blessed to be community in faith. We thank you for the promises that continue to speak to our hearts, and we pray, Lord God, that the spirit of your love for each of us will fill us abundantly today, that you'll stir mightily within us and allow us to continue to live in ways that are faithful to you as you call to our hearts and as you summon our spirits to walk in your ways. Bless our reflections today upon your word. Let it minister to our hearts. Let it urge us ever onward in faithful living. In Jesus' name, amen. If we were to go backward a little bit in the gospel this week and to read some of the events that were taking place prior to this story today, we would see that Jesus was experiencing a rather significant time of argument and tension. He was pressured relentlessly by the religious leaders and the general public about his true identity, as well as his views concerning all manner of things. There was an air of antagonism that also surrounded Jesus as he was badgered about paying taxes and his views on the afterlife, even about what he understood to be the greatest of the commandments. Perhaps a bit weary of all this questioning, our Lord is portrayed in today's gospel lesson as simply sitting quietly in the temple courtyard, just watching people as they were coming and going. Across the way stood a collection site of 13 trumpet-shaped offering pots made entirely of brass. Situated at the entrance to the outer court of the temple, these offering pots were visible to everyone who entered the temple grounds. They were intended to be the receptacles for contributions made to the temple to defray expenses. What a spectacle it often was as worshipers gathered and gave their offerings. People from Judea and Galilee and Samaria and lands far beyond were streaming into the temple, dressed in their finest clothing, and each bringing an offering as a sign of their faithfulness. Occasionally, heads would turn to look at these trumpets as offerings were being brought forward by the wealthier of those worshipers. They would empty huge bags of coins into the treasury, creating a real show, a loud clanging and banging as each coin bounced down inside the arm of the trumpet. Suddenly, though, into the midst of this parade of gathering worshipers, a small, stooped woman appears. People were brushing by her, without even really paying attention to her, as they hurried about their own business and rushed into the temple. After all, they had seen her type before. The streets were filled with these poor wretches of society. Yet, in spite of these heedless and insensitive people, Jesus, our Lord, notices her. And he tells the disciples to draw near. He wants to bring their attention to her as well. With stiff fingers that must have labored for years and been exposed to the cold far too often, this lonely woman struggles to open the fabric bag that held the tiny two coins that she brought forward as an offering. Mites, some would call them, for they were literally the smallest of all coins, a total worth of about a penny, as the scriptures tell us. But still, with a silent prayer, a reverent nod of quiet reassurance, the woman made her offering quietly in the temple courtyard that day, and then disappeared into the crowd. After witnessing this scene, Jesus, ever the teacher, says to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had." Now, obviously, our Lord considered this event a very appropriate moment to teach something significant to his disciples. And whether the event took place over 2,000 years ago or just yesterday, I believe that it's a lesson that each of us can learn from as well. I dare say that when it comes to determining standards of value in our world, we all have different ways of doing so. What we hold in value and what we suspect does not have much value. Today, more than ever, I think that we're a society that seems to evaluate everyone and perhaps everything according to money. Let me see if I can explain that assessment a little better. We tend to make judgments, I believe, about people based solely on where they live, how they live, what they've been able to accomplish in their lives, the trips they take, the cars they drive, the clothes they wear. Frequently basing our judgments on others all because of their hold on money. Wow, we say to ourselves sometimes, how are they able to go on that trip? Boy, I wish I could do that. As we secretly wish we could live as those who have more than us. Friends, I'm really wondering lately, do we live in a society that can only see value in things? Things that are grand and glorious. If that's the case, I suspect that maybe we're missing a great deal, and this is why Jesus' message to us is so important. That we miss the smaller things in life that are truly of value, at least of value to the heart. A kind word spoken. The offering of a thank you. Living in a way that's simple, gentle, loving, honorable. Being people who truly care and offer compassion to others. When we learn of the attention today that our Lord gives to the value of that widow's mite, highlighting the value of something that seems ridiculously small in terms of the world, I think we all need to sit up and take notice. But the question that I wrestle with, and maybe you do too, is can we measure things in life apart from the almighty dollar? What if, friends, we could view our world with eyes that notice even the smallest acts of kindness and generosity and see that as truly valuable? What if we measured the truly valuable in our world according to a standard of how love is demonstrated? Love given freely, generously, abundantly to others. I recently came across a rather sobering story that has been haunting me ever since I read of it, and I wanted to offer it to you today because I think it's apt for our reflections this morning. It's the story told of a group of people who froze to death around a campfire on a bitterly cold night. Each person had a stick of wood that they could have offered to the fire for the sake of everyone. But for reasons satisfactory only to themselves, every single one of them refused to give up what they had. One woman wouldn't give up her stick of wood because there was a person in the circle that she wasn't convinced was able to offer anything in kind. A homeless man wouldn't give up his stick because he might need it for later. And besides that, there was a rich man in the group and he had more than he really needed. The rich man wouldn't give up his stick because his contribution would warm someone that he believed wasn't pulling their weight. Still another member of this group wouldn't surrender her stick because she recognized that there were others in the group that didn't believe like she did, and she just couldn't trust them. One member of the group withheld their stick simply because they wanted to get back at the others that were in the group that had mistreated her. And so it went. And as you can imagine, as the story unfolds, the fire ultimately dies. Each person clutching to themselves the piece of firewood that they believed was rightfully theirs and they weren't going to share. Now, originally, this heartbreaking tale was told in the form of a poem that concludes with these tragic lines, and I've been mulling them over ever since I read them. It goes this way. Logs held fast in death's still hand was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. Friends, today's gospel message is challenging to us. We're confronted with two very distinct approaches to life, distinct types of people. On the one hand, our Lord speaks of the scribes. They're all wealthy and powerful and influential leaders and teachers of their day who valued most what the world could give back to them. And they made a show of their faith as a way of grabbing attention, more attention to themselves. And the other is the image of the poor widow, who has little value in worldly terms, but still she comes forward and quietly gives all that she has, we're told, as a sign of love for the one who is love. Now, friends, it's not my place to offer a judgment about the showy scribes or the poor widow in today's tale. But whenever I'm reading and wrestling with the scriptures, I do believe that it's important to highlight what I believe Jesus is trying to lift up for all of us as we come to terms with the message in our living. And here's what I'm seeing, that this story isn't just about money. Far from it, I believe. Today's gospel message is more about who or what we place our trust in. Recently, I came across an article that was written by a man named Robert Bella, who has made many observations about society, and his reflections are recorded in a book called The Soul's Journey. And Robert Bella lifts up this concept that I've been living with ever since I read it. He writes about what he calls advanced poverty, saying that it really doesn't have anything to do with people who are needy or the plight of the homeless or those who are experiencing financial insecurity. Instead, Bella writes that advanced poverty is that state of existence that we can all be susceptible to when we choose to trust more in ourselves than we trust in God. And by virtue of such a choice, impoverish ourselves to what is truly valuable. Our Lord's teaching moment in the temple wasn't contrasting monetary donations. Far from it. It is about what we rely on, who we place our trust in. And friends, I believe that this temple event speaks to these times in which we live, to point out to each of us boldly the kind of tendency that we have to trust in ourselves far too often, to place our trust in our politicians, in our possessions, all the while impoverishing ourselves by failing to trust solidly in the living God. In a way, this is what the psalmist was pointing out in the psalm reading that you shared in together a few minutes ago. In one singular verse, it said this, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help." That seems to hit the nail right on the head. Jesus' contrast between the widow and the high and mighty scribes must have been a stark appraisal that drew the disciples up short, and maybe it shakes up our common view of the world as well. I don't know about you, but I'm growing more and more convinced that the real struggle that we face in this culture of ours, and I'll even call it a nightmare at times, is the fact that we have this deeply rooted tendency to rely on ourselves first. And I call this a nightmare because I suspect that this is why we are always preoccupied with the abundance of fears in our world and in our society. Fears about financial security, online security, border security, job security, national security, you name it. Like the call of a trumpet, I kept hearing this week this verse that I thought spoke well to the fears that we all are wrestling with. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And the writer of these words also goes on in this beautiful passage and says, "God is this love. And whoever lives in love lives in union with God." Friends, I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. Too often, fear has been used to displace love in the world and its expression in the world. But I, as a Christian, want to continue to believe that sharing God's love during times of intense fear can help conquer those fears better than our plans, our promises, our politicians, you name it. Perfect love casts out fear. And I hope this is how we want to be defined in our world today. So where is your heart, friends? As people of God, we're all recipients of the greatest gift of love that God could ever give anyone. Through the selfless gift of Jesus, who gave his life sacrificially upon a cross, God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. By rising from the dead, our Lord Jesus has secured our future. That's the essence of our faith. For all that God has already done for us, we're invited simply, profoundly, to give thanks. To give thanks to God with a grateful heart. To share with this world around us that same kind of faithful, loving trust. Offering to others, our family, our community, our church, our friends, our world, all that we have in trust. Just like the widow in today's story. May it be so.